result.
Okay, Molly, you were just talking about...
I was just talking about I got my matric, yes. Well, here is where I have to confess a moment of sort of weakness and failure because...
just a moment.
I had been made a prefect in, I think, the year before my school cert. I had been the first one in the class to be made a prefect. And unlike my son, I hadn't the guts to turn in my prefect badge because I hated being a prefect, absolutely loathed it. And then when it came up to the matric year, I realised as it grew near the end of the year, to my horror, that I was the one designated to be head girl when I was in the sixth form. And I could not bear the thought of being the head girl, of walking onto the platform and holding the assembly quiet until Miss Scudamore came onto the platform every day at assembly and all the things that were expected of a head girl. Just absolutely couldn't bear it. But I also hadn't the guts to say I couldn't bear it. I hadn't the guts to talk to anybody about it. I didn't talk to my parents or even Nev or anybody. I just dropped out of school. Mm. I remember one of my favourites...
That meant you couldn't go to university?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it just meant I had to get a job. And I remember the teacher I was most keen on, Miss Atkinson, saying to me that she was very disappointed in me because I had got ability to carry on. They were all the teachers who disappointed in me. And she said, why are you leaving? And I just said, I don't really know. And then I said that my father had been out of work because the architecture during the Depression was downhill all the way. He had been in a firm with 12 people and he was the last to go, but he had actually found another job by this time. So that it wasn't, I mean, there was no pressure put on me by my parents.
What did they put pressure on you to say?
No.
No.
Just left it over to me.
Things were a little different though in those days, for Molly or for me. I mean,
you
said university. Well, the thoughts of university for Molly, I think, and certainly for me in the States,
was nobody
had mentioned
university.
It was, unless you could get in, like I tried to, tuition free. It was after World War II, so anybody that did reasonably well could hope to get to university.
Were the things for university in England, or was it more that it was just...
Nobody talked to me about university, but one of the girls in my class, Rosemary Cartledge, who was the one, the nearest competitor to me, she was, always third in the class, whereas I and another girl were first or second. And they always wanted to give a prize to Rosemary Cartledge because she came from one of the well-to-do families in Richmond, and her parents always gave books to the school to be awarded for prize giving. And Rosemary never quite made it to getting a prize. So the year that I got the math story, they thought, aha, Moira won't be getting a prize this year with all that absence. So the second form prize was given to Rosemary Cartledge. But at the end of the year, they found that my marks were higher, but Rosemary had already been designated for the prize, so they gave me the prize for French, which wasn't my best subject, but I think it was one they hadn't decided on a prize for. But Rosemary went on to become a doctor, not that I could see myself as a doctor, for God's sake, but Rosemary did carry on and became a doctor because her parents thought about university for her. I didn't hear a word in my family about university or...
But did you then go to university?
No. Right. He was apprenticed to an architect. And it was thanks to his mother, determined that he wasn't going to be a plumber, which his father thought he should be. And she opened a little tobacconist shop and earned the money to get him apprenticed to an architect. Yes, you usually had to pay, I think he paid at any rate, for this man, Mr. Elphick, to take my father on as an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a totally different, I mean, I didn't know, none of my friends were other than Rosemary Cartledge.
What did you want to do?
I wanted to get married.
Get matriculation and get out would do you.
I had to go there is a gap. I wanted to write books, and my father was horrified at the idea of becoming a writer because he thought that these writers usually had to pay the public. He knew really nothing about it, but he discouraged any sort of ideas of becoming a writer, quite lightly in a way, because it was a sort of
journalism.
I would have.
Creatures in the Second World War being
correspondents? Yes, being a correspondent.
Women wouldn't have been a correspondent.
I don't know, really, I just did not know what I wanted to do, but I knew what I didn't want to do, and that was when I got into it. At the sort of low-grade clerical work in the civil service, because it
in
was... That was in... it was when I was 16, coming up 17... 1937.
I mean, there was a sort of shadow of World War
II. It was coming. I mean, it was a year before Munich, yes. But there was still very heavy unemployment. I know that by the unemployment claims, which was the department that I was put into at Kew. And I was at a bottom-rung clerical job that I was so bad at. Because if there's one thing I couldn't use, it was my hands. I hadn't got any sort of dexterity. And so we would start the day by having to have rubbers, sort of bits of rubber on our fingers, and flick through things to sort them out, like a huge stack of cards, and you'll be putting them into piles according to whether they were Northeast or Scotland or Wales or Northwest or Southwest, all these unemployment claims. They were like square pieces of cardboard, and you would have to flick through them all and put them in, sort them into piles. And then you'd have to sort them into racks, and then you'd take them down, and with these rubbers on your fingers, you would be stamping them.
Something quite different.
They were something like that. They were so that your fingers would grip onto the cards while you stamp them, you see, and, you know, like a post office stamp, like one of these stamps, you know, that you bang the stamp and bang it onto it. But all my cards were always going in a shower on the floor. Everybody was faster than I was. They'd have all their things wrapped, they'd have all their things stamped. So that was a miserable job. But one of the worst punishments was to be put on pouches. And then you were... That sounds ridiculous too.
Yeah,
but you were,
for your
you were put into a little room that was entirely filled with enormous envelopes of different colours that had to be put into racks as to whether they were. And these huge envelopes, like a pillowcase, about a bit bigger than a pillowcase, but made of sort of thick envelope stuff. And you had to put them into racks according to the colour. But you spend all day doing pouches all by yourself, and your job was to feel right into the corners of every pouch before you fired it to see if any mail had got stuck in there. And it occasionally, well, if you found something, it was pathetic because it would be a letter greatly out of date, some screwed up piece of paper by some illiterate person somewhere in Wales or one of the high unemployment areas saying that they were a distress call, you know, they've got so many children, no income coming in, nothing to eat, and so on. So if you did find something, it was usually somebody that the bureaucracy was missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started that job, it was very high unemployment, but as the war loomed nearer as 1938 came, when really there was a big push towards armament, rearming for World War II, the sacks got less. So then, to our horror, we were put on loan to ledges. That was a horror story in itself, because in the unemployment area we were in, it was all girls of about between the ages of 16 and 20. And when you were loaned to ledges, there were these long, long corridors of files where you'd pull out drawers and you would have to go through all the papers in these drawers to get a child thing, and there were sort of rather pimply, middle-aged, sweaty men who worked at desks in there. And while you were filing things, they would, alleyways with all these files in were very close together, and these men were always trying to squeeze past on some pretext or other. You'd have your arms up looking at something in a file, and then suddenly your tiny hands easing round you. See, there were all these things full of gropers, you know, and
undoubtedly it was. I mean,
they've
been there for what, 20 years longer than you ever
had. So being known to ladies is no fun. But you see, my friend Eileen, who was in the same class at school, and she stayed on into the sixth form. She wasn't afraid of being made head girl, and wasn't made head girl, and would have handled it extremely efficiently if she had been head girl. She wasn't scared of it, and she went through the sixth form. So she also went into the civil service, but went into a very much better job at the Admiralty, which she kept all the way through the war.
Now
he's the one in Vancouver Island.